God loves you so much, He chose you. Pastor Ray Bentley explains.
What does it mean to be chosen? Very simply, it comes by the grace of God. You are chosen by God's amazing grace. And this is one of the amazing mysteries. We are chosen. And when did He choose us? The scriptures reveal that before the foundations of the earth were even laid, God chose us.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Remember choosing sites for baseball or basketball when you were a kid? No one wanted to be chosen last, because that means you weren't chosen at all. Today, we'll see we were chosen by God from the very beginning. That and more encouragement coming your way today from Pastor Ray Bentley. Here he is to begin today's study.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 9 through 17. And the title of this message is Encouraging Words. I wonder if I speak to anyone this morning that could use some encouraging words. Well, then you have come to the right place. That's what today is all about. And we're going to be listening to our brother Peter. Of course, the fisherman, the rough, tough Galilean fisherman who was called to be a disciple and then an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's got some words to encourage us and to bless us. Okay, chapter 2, and here's my question. He's going to talk about four characteristics of the church. We talked about how Christ is our cornerstone, the chief cornerstone of all humanity, the Messiah. And the idea is that the cornerstone has to be big enough and deep enough and strong enough, and it has to be absolutely engineered in such perfection that the entire weight of the building and edifice above it can rest upon it. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone for all of humanity. The weight of all humanity, 7 billion people almost. But not only this generation, going all the way back, all the generations of all peoples of all times from the beginning, now may rest upon the chief cornerstone, Jesus. And that He is now building, through you and I, a new living temple wherein we who individually come to faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord are now made living stones in this new living temple or tabernacle. So he's now giving a very beautiful exhortation, encouragement. He says in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In those two verses, he gives us our purpose as the church. You know, because why are we still here? Why isn't it that, let's say, you know, you're walking like everybody else in the world, and you're kind of oblivious to God, and you are walking in lostness and darkness, and then you hear the good news, and you are convicted in your heart. You turn around, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. I say, why not immediately upon asking Christ in your life, why don't we just go on to heaven right away? Would you be okay with that, huh? Why do we have to stay here? Well, we know, unfortunately, a little bit of the answer to that. Number one, God is using our time here, brief though it is compared to eternity. He is forming His character in us in a way that is unique to being here upon this fallen, broken earth. He is forging character development in us that is very, very precious and important to Him. But secondly, there's a bigger purpose. He uses us. I mean, if we all immediately just disappeared and went to heaven, who would be left as a witness to those who are still in darkness and those who are in the world? So in here, he talks about that you and I might praise the glory of his grace, the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But he, first of all, before we take that big responsibility, shares four things with us. Number one, he says we are a chosen generation. Now he's talking about the church. This is the same thing that was said about Israel. What does it mean to be chosen? And very simply, it comes by the grace of God. You are chosen by God's amazing grace. You remember that Israel, wondering, why did God choose us in ancient times? God told them, I did not choose you because you're a great people. I chose you because I love you. Now that may, you say, well, yeah, but that's not a reason. Why does he love us? He doesn't say. He just chose you because he loves you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 is in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God has chosen you and I purely because of his love and because of his grace. Now, Jesus shared something interesting with all the disciples, Peter being one of them, and I'm sure that Peter could remember the day that he decided, after watching Jesus and observing Jesus, experiencing the miracle of, you know, fishing all night, catching nothing, and Jesus says, just cast your nets on the other side of this tiny little boat, and all these fish came in. It was a miracle, and Peter left his nets and followed Christ. He decided to be a disciple and for 3 years followed Jesus wherever he went. But there was a point after about 3 years of being with them that Jesus let all those disciples in on a little secret. He said it in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. To which Peter would say, well, no, wait a second. I remember choosing you. And Jesus is essentially saying, I know you chose me, Peter, but I was before you even came into existence, and I chose you before you chose me. And this is one of the amazing mysteries of the grace of God, is that we are chosen. And when did he choose us? It's not like even it was 2,000 years ago, but the scriptures reveal that before the foundations of the earth were even laid, God chose us in Christ Jesus. That's amazing. And it's wonderful. But if somebody were to say, yeah, but how do I know whether or not he chose me or not? I have a very simple solution for that. All you need to do today is, given the opportunity, choose to become a Christian and ask Christ in your life. And then I'll immediately tell you he knew that and chose you before you ever chose him. So the ball, as it were, is back in your court. So you and I are a chosen generation. Secondly, we are a royal priesthood. Now, we talked a lot about that. Peter writes that there's the priesthood of the believers. And it talks about us as being priests. And there are those maybe that have the calling of God to be pastor, teacher, and so forth, but in a spiritual sense, we're all priests. The job of a priest is to represent people to God and to represent God to people. And the New Testament talks about the priesthood of all believers, royal because he's a king and we're members of his family, and a priesthood because we've all been called to represent God to others and others back unto the Lord. When we talk about priests, how many of you have come from a Catholic family or background or whatever, just out of curiosity? Okay, quite a few of you. One of the things, there's a guy that's a close friend of mine, and I'd asked him, explain to me about the collar, and what it looks like, kind of looks like a shirt that's on backwards. And so he said, well, he goes, interesting, you should mention that. He goes, from what I've heard, and maybe there's different versions and you can correct me, he says, but a priest told me that way, way back when, the word repentance means to turn around, literally 180 degrees. And so the idea of the collar with the button in the back was literally your body inside of your shirt turning 180 degrees around, and I'm walking in the opposite direction. So the world would stop, look, notice, and say, wow, he's going in a different direction. That, in a sense, is what the whole holy nation of the body of Christ is to be like, is to be people from every nation and every color and every creed and every tongue and every background who are now walking in 180 degrees different from what they used to do and what the world is doing, and whose lives are now filled with praise and thanksgiving to God that causes them to say, wow, maybe they have something that I don't have for my loneliness and emptiness and guilt and depression and all the rest of it. So here Peter is saying, you are a chosen people, you are a royal priesthood, and then he adds, we are a holy nation. The word holy means set apart, exclusively for the service of the Lord. Well, now we're called holy. Our whole lives, including our bodies, are set apart exclusively for God. It also means our citizenship is not just here on the earth, but our citizenship truly is in heaven. And I love to add this, our holiness comes, and this the world doesn't always understand, our holiness does not come from our perfection, nor does our holiness come from our performance or our ability. It comes from a story of redemption. We who are believers in Jesus Christ are the first to admit and to know that we are sinners who are saved by the amazing grace of God. That we are imperfect, flawed, broken in so many different ways, but we have a story of redemption. We have a story to tell that I have been forgiven. My heart has been transformed. I have new desires. I'm heading in a new direction. And by God, my Father's amazing love and grace and tenderness, He walks with me so that I'm not alone as I make my way to that citizenship in heaven.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's a blessing to hear when Pastor Ray's daily studies in the Word of God make a positive change in someone's life. That's our goal with each one of these broadcasts. Here's an example of that kind of change. Take a listen.
Hi, Pastor Ray. Last year was the hardest year of my life. I suffered deep wounds from things that were said to me and things said about me to others, and betrayal to top it off. As a Christian, I found myself saying and thinking things I'd never, ever imagined. Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, and anxiety were killing me, literally. You had been going through the Lord's Prayer in Matthew with an emphasis on forgiveness. At the end of the message, you asked for those holding on to bitterness to stand up, to confess, and forgive. Then you said, "You need to forgive." It was said with such a bold, direct tone that I began to weep because I knew it was a direct word from God. God knew it was what I needed to hear. At that moment, I let it all go and forgave those who betrayed me and treated me so harshly. My joy returned that night. Thank you, Pastor Ray, for your faithfulness.
How have Pastor Ray's studies touched your life? Would you let him know? Send an email today to ray@raybentley.com. Again, that's ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and then he says we are God's special people, or we are the people of God. Now I have to ask, because I teach out of New King James, and I was raised on the old King James. When I first got saved, I was at 11 years old, I went and bought, you know, the old King James. At 11 years old, it was a little challenging getting through the these and the thous and art and wherefores to understand it. And so we go with a little bit, the new King James takes some of those things out. But the reality is that even the old King James English is for those who know English, a very, very high form of the English language. You know, we've kind of gotten it watered down in a lot of different ways, but it's very high. But I mention that because what's funny here is, does anybody have the old King James here this morning? A few of you, a couple of you. You'll notice what it says. It says, you are a peculiar people. And I just want to say from my vantage point, I'm going to say that I agree with that. That's exactly right. Peculiar. But the funny, I'm just being facetious, but peculiar in Old English really meant special. And so that's the idea of it. Now, you're a special people because we are the people of God. By simply trusting in Jesus Christ, God's Son, we who were not his people now have been made, we are the people of God. And that's an awesome and amazing thing. And then we find the purpose. Why are we a chosen generation? Why are we a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people of God? He says in verse 9 that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that, here's the goal, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are to reveal the praises of God to a lost world and to make that offer to them of his goodness and of his grace. Now, in verses 11 and 12, Peter reminds us of who we are. You know, we sometimes when you're raising children and they begin misbehaving, I remember I would say, this is not my son. You are not acting like my son. Have you forgotten who you are, Daniel? Or my daughter, Annie. This isn't Annie. I don't know who you've become. A stranger has come into our house. But where's the real Annie? You know, and so the idea is to remind you of who you really are. In a way, that's what Peter is doing in verses 11 and 12. And the first thing he says in verse 11 is, beloved. Dearly beloved. Now, he's got something he wants to exhort us about, but he says it with tenderness, and he says it with such affection. I don't know if you know, many people in the world, unfortunately, they pride themselves on having the right interpretation, you know, of the Bible or whatever. But the Bible says you must speak the truth in love. And you can't have really one without the other. In fact, the truth not spoken in love really isn't the truth. Because the whole point of the truth of God is that it is filled with the love of God. So love is very important. Then there are other people that say, truth and you know, saying that this is true or not true causes division, so let's just love everybody. But love, without any definition, becomes so mushy that it doesn't even mean anything. So you have to have the truth, but it must be spoken in love. You know, I've, over the years, argued with different people, and they're right. You can be so right that you're dead right, if you know what I mean. They may have it all, you know, squared away doctrinally, but their tone and their attitude is so antithetical to what they're saying, it just undermines the whole deal. I love Peter because here's this big, rough, tough Galilean fisherman who was now, because of his time spent with Jesus Christ, a loving, affectionate, compassionate. And he's got an exhortation. He says, beloved, dearly beloved, have you forgotten who you are? As Christians, we must constantly be reminded of who we truly are. There's 1 Peter, and it's a tiny little letter of a few chapters. 2 Peter is even shorter. Two little letters that Peter wrote to the believers 2,000 years ago. 8 times in those two letters, he says, dearly beloved. He was a very tender-hearted, very affectionate, I can't wait to get to heaven and to meet my brother Peter. And then he says, so what does he say? Beloved. So, okay, now you have our attention. He says, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. He's saying we need to be careful how we live and how we conduct our lives within this world. We're being watched by them. And dearly beloved, remember, this world is not our home. I put this phrase here in your notes, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Well, the first time I heard that phrase was back in the 70s, in the Jesus People days. One of my early heroes was one of the first Christian rock artists. His name was Larry Norman. Some of you may know him. Some of you may not have heard him. But he was a wild and crazy guy. He had long hair, played a guitar, kind of a Christian rock guy, poet. He had an album called Only Visiting This Planet. And the last line of one of his songs was, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." And it was a very catchy melody and tune, and I've never forgotten it, because that's truly what Peter was saying. This, you know, world that is, for all of our technology, and for how smart we are, we're unraveling the DNA and the code, the genetic code and all the rest, and yet we can't get rid of famine and hunger and poverty and war and violence. We got a problem that's on the inside. It's not a mental issue or knowledge problem, it's a heart problem. And that's why Jesus came as a savior. But we're only visiting this planet. If you ever feel kind of like, man, I just don't feel like I fit here, or I don't sometimes feel like I belong here, that's a normal feeling for a child of God. Because in a sense, we are pilgrims, we're passing through, we're on our way to a better world, as Abraham said, to that heavenly city. We know the kingdom is coming. And if these are some of your feelings, Peter is saying, you're not alone. He says, so stay away from the things, the lust of the flesh. 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 is in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together, shall we? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. In other words, in my old life, when I was like a lemming following, you know what they say, any dead fish can flow downstream. It takes a live fish to go against the grain and against the current and up, you know, like the salmon do. And sometimes that's the way it is. We leave our old life behind. We're not trapped or enslaved just to the demands and the lusts of our flesh, which lead to destruction mentally, spiritually, emotionally, as well as can be physically. And so live a life that is a witness before the world. The world may say ugly things about you. They may mock you. But know this, they are watching you. And if what you have has an abiding reality and sense of trueness to it, they'll hunger for it, and you'll have opportunity to share with them.
Good instruction from Pastor Ray Bentley today in our ongoing studies of 1 Peter here on Maranatha Radio. Glad you've joined us. And today's broadcast is available on CD. We'll send it to you for a gift of any size. Get in touch and ask for the message called Encouraging Words. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 Peter on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we have a booklet we're making available that helps listeners join us on a 40-day journey of prayer and fasting. And this resource helps them journal about the progress. It's called Fast 40, Calling for God's Heavenly Fire. That's important, isn't it, to memorialize what we see God doing?
I think it's very important. And that's why it's a booklet for 40 days. It's Calling for God's Heavenly Fire. Lord, baptize us in your Spirit and with your fire. That's the promise that Jesus gave. And it's got a scripture for every day, for 40 days, related to fire and the glory of the Lord in the scriptures. Hmm. So it's a way of spending 40 days concentrating on God's promise to bring his fire, the kingdom of heaven, to the earth. And then there's an opportunity for you to journal what God speaks to you, what God is saying to you. You can write down your prayer requests as well as your praise reports of all the things that God downloads into your spirit and soul during this time of praying and fasting.
All right. Well, we hope you'll get in touch for a copy of this unique resource. We're making it available right now to say thank you for your donation of any amount, which helps keep Pastor Ray's teaching coming your way. And when you send your contribution, be sure to ask for Fast 40, Calling for God's Heavenly Fire. Just write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 Peter. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.